There you go, me. But at the moment, we're at a record low, which is a good introduction to the speaker, whose name is Rabbi Low.
Sunday morning, I
unfortunately, In fact, I made more on Friday from those people who came to me in advance than I made yesterday.
It was too dark.
Maybe. Okay, whatever the reason, I don't know. Okay, our limud of Chofetz Chaim every day is L'schus Refuah of Yosef Dov Ben Chayla, Hishtavu Refuah Shneima Bekorov, and he shall make next week in Yitz Shem on Tuesday, he's making a chasna b'shal tovim muslachas. He should be able to go to the chasna, he should be able to dance at the chasna, mix with people. So, Chofetz Chaim says that we're up to the inyan of we started speaking last week about the Shemiyah of Lashon Hara, well, of Rechilus. We're into Rechilus now. And Rechilus makes a difference between Rechilus and Lashon Hara. So he says as follows. He says there is an issa of listening to Lashon Hara stam. Stam to listen to Lashon Hara has no effect on you whatsoever. You're just hearing Lashon Hara about what another Jew did something bad. So such a thing is Shmias Lashon Hara. He says, that's bad. He said, on the other hand, he said, there is a next stage, which is Shmia, and I believe it. Now, the Shmia is pshat that I hear Lashon Hara. It may be true, it may not be true. The details might be true, the details might not. People tell stories, Chinese whispers, things change. And therefore, one could be choishesh when you hear a story about somebody who did something, that maybe it's not 100%. Says the Chofetz Chaim, so therefore that's one madrega. It's shmir, it's not good. You shouldn't be listening to Lashon Hara at all. On the other hand, he said, if you don't believe it, then it's only shmir, and I don't say only shmir, belittling it, but it's shmir, and it's not Kabbalah's Lashon Hara. Kabbalah's Lashon Hara is pshat, that I believe it. I believe it to be true.
If you don't believe it, not
the answer. What? It's not true. Says the Chofetz Chaim, if you hear it and you don't believe it, it's still an issa of listening to Lashon Hara. Lo siso shem mashov. Says the Chofetz Chaim, I'll just let read out his words, okay? Va'af al shemias rechilus levad. Just to listen to rechilus. Gam ken yesh issa godl kamoi b'Lashon Hara, like we learned earlier. Yeah? Da'afta ba'eis hashmiya lo nigba adai b'data im yamin oloi. Even if at the time when he's listening to it, he hasn't decided that this is true, and he's thinking to himself, maybe it's not true. Yeah? Mekol mokem issa kabbalah chamura memenu. But to be mekabel Lashon Hara is worse. But to listen to Lashon Hara is also wrong. So stam to listen to, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want Yidden listening to bad stories about what other Jews have done, which are embarrassing to the Rebbeinu Shalom. Right? People who haven't behaved themselves in one way or another, whatever it is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't like the idea that we enjoy speaking about these people, except for you, Avadji, I know you haven't got Yetzer Hara for it, but everybody else, who likes talking about other people and listening to stories, and it's taka, it's interesting, it's geschmack, it's plotkas, etc., and it makes conversation. So says that the issa is shemir, but if you're not makabel, then it's a lesser issa than it is than kabbalah, but still an issa. Then says the Chofetz Chaim that we all know, and we learnt this over and over and over again, that if you hear Lashon Hara, and befrat if you hear a chilus, which can have a damaging effect on you, if the story that you're hearing might affect you as well, right? Somebody is swindling a business, and he's a customer of yours, or whatever it is, or a member of the family who's doing, who's behaving badly towards another member of the family, and it bothers you because it's your family and you want to look after them. Whatever it is, if it has an effect on you, says the Chofetz Chaim said it over and over and over again, that you're allowed to believe it to the extent that you protect yourself from harm. Right? You can't ignore it. This was the mistake that we learnt about it that Gedaliah made. Gedaliah ben Achikom didn't want to believe the story when he was told that somebody was plotting to Yishmael ben Nesanya. Yeah? That he was plotting to assassinate him. He was told there are people out there who want to kill you. And he didn't take any precautions. He said, I'm not mekabel Lashon Hara. I don't want to hear, and I'm not mekabel. And therefore, as a result of that, unfortunately, this he was assassinated. He was killed. And therefore, we have a time Gedaliah. So therefore, the Chofetz Chaim learnt over and over and over again that when you hear a Lashon Hara, if it could have an effect on you, he says you're not allowed to believe it, but you're allowed to protect yourself just in case it might be true. And somebody gave the moshel of the idea of wearing a seatbelt. That when you go out driving in the car, you wear a seatbelt. Do you really think you're going to have an accident today? No. Do you really think that today you're going to have to slam on the brakes at the last minute, and if not for that, you would end up flying through the windscreen, chas v'shalom, having a serious accident? You don't. But you put on your seatbelt just in case. Says the Chofetz Chaim, that you can similarly, you can believe a Lashon Hara that you're told that could be damaging to you, that could cause you harm potentially. You believe it just to the extent that I'm going to protect myself just in case. So you have a situation, for instance, they say that there's somebody who's got a shop, and as an example, someone has a shop and he has a loyal person who came into the shop when he was 20 years old. He gave him a job, and the guy started by stocking the shelves, and then eventually he came into the shop and he started getting involved in the buying and the selling, etc., etc., and then he was on the till, etc., and this person has raised a family meanwhile, and the balabais has worried for him, and he's had parnosa. Now, there's somebody else in the shop who works there as well, who's heard that this employee, who started from nothing, is now a shiner balabos because he's earning a decent wage, chasling gemach de kinder, etc., etc., is thinking of going into competition with his boss. Yeah, he's going into competition with his boss. He's making photocopies of invoices and things like that, so he knows where to get the supplies. Right, he's taking details of what the prices are and what the margins are and where you get things and where you buy it and where you have, you know, where do you go to get a bag printed and where do you go to buy a cash register, whatever it is. He's making his plans and he's taking information from his balabais. Oh, so the other employee knows about that. Now he decides he's going to do a toiva to the balabos and he's going to tell him, you know, you should know that Ployni, your loyal employee, who started with you from nothing, and you brought him up to the matzah where he is, he's planning to go into competition with you. He's planning to open a shop round the corner and to go in competition with you. And he's only hanging around at the moment because he's taking, you know, copies and he's taking details, etc., etc., in order to run your bit. So, what's the halacha? The halacha would be then that I'm allowed to listen to that.
Protect yourself.
I'm allowed to listen to that Lashon Hara. I'm not allowed to believe that he's going to open a shop. But on the other hand, I'm going to protect myself that I'm not going to make all these details available to him. I might, but yeah. I'm not allowed to say anything to him, says the Chofetz Chaim. You're not allowed to suspect him. You're not allowed to treat him differently than you treated him till now. You're not allowed to deduct anything from his wages. You're not allowed to be rude to him. You're not allowed to shut him out. But protect your business. Protect your business. Don't give him access to those things which he can use, which later on might be a competition against you and might spoil your business. Says the Chofetz Chaim, therefore always when we hear Lashon Hara, he says as follows. Somebody starts speaking Lashon Hara. Yeah, and it depends obviously on your relationship with the person, but he wants to tell you something. And that thing that he's telling you is something bad about another Jew. Says, if you can, your first question to him is, can this affect me? Does this have any effect on me? Potentially, do I need to know this information? Do I really need to know this information in order that I can protect myself from harm? If yes, carry on speaking, and you're allowed to listen, and you're allowed to be choshesh, and you're allowed to protect yourself. But not mamash to believe, but just to the extent that I protect myself from harm, like Gedalia ben Achikom should have taken precautions in order that the son should not be able to, Ishmael ben Sanya should not be able to murder him.
What's wrong with belief?
Well, the problem with belief is that the Torah says, Loi siso sheim ashov. You're not allowed to believe, to accept and believe Lashon Hara.
Yeah, but in fact, you have to have a line between Lashon Hara and good advice. There's got to be a line.
Exactly. So what we're saying is that to the extent that I'm going to protect myself from harm, to that extent I can believe it. But no more than that. So I can't change my attitude towards him. I can't treat him differently. I can't start paying him less. I can't fire him. I heard you're planning to open a shop in competition with me, and you're taking down all the details about my suppliers and the prices, etc., etc., where I get stuff. A chutzpah, I gave you a job. I brought you up. Bonim gidalti v'raimamti. You started on the shop floor. You started in the back room, and now a chutzpah, I'm going to fire you. Yeah. But how do you know? But how do you know, boss, that I'm starting? I plan to start a shop because Pliny told me. Yeah. And how do you know it's true? I believe him. Yeah? You're not allowed to believe him. So, says the Chofetz Chaim, you're allowed to listen, you're allowed to suspect, but you're not allowed to do anything apart from protecting yourself.
I can't you confront the person and say, I hear you're leaving me.
Yeah, I hear you're leaving me. Are you leaving me? Okay. Maybe, right? I don't know. Because then the guy will say back to you, I mean, presumably he'll say it's not true, and he'll say it's a lie, and you're going to create a whole machloikas now.
That's also important.
I don't know, right? But his question back to you is, how do you know that I'm leaving you? Because I heard it from someone. Who could you have heard it from? Only from the other employee. Yeah, well, he wants to get into favor with you. He wants my job. He wants to replace me. He's hoping that you fire me in order that he can have my job and he can replace me. And it can lead to a lot of machloikas. Says the Chofetz Chaim. Chofetz Chaim says quite clearly, I'll read you the words of Bli Eidah tomorrow. My time is up today because our speaker's arrived. Yeah, but Chofetz Chaim says quite clearly, you're not allowed to do anything apart from suspect and protect. You're allowed to suspect that it might be true. It might be true, it might not be. But just in case, like I put on the seatbelt, just in case, right, you protect yourself just in case from harm. He's not right, he is here now, okay? So later I'll read you what's called, yeah? He says, right, so therefore he says, you ask the person in advance when he starts speaking, does this matter for me? Do I need to know this Lashon Hara? If he says yes, then you're allowed to listen. In fact, it's a mitzvah to listen. He says, then muta lishmar lechatchila. He says, kedei leida, heich lochus ulishome memenu. I need to suspect and to protect myself from the other person. Aval kavabach lota. Osa min ha-Torah b'chol gavneh. To absolutely believe that this is the truth is osa min ha-Torah. Rak derech hashash ba'alma kedei shi'izor es atzma b'lvad. You're allowed to suspect in order to protect yourself and no more than that.
Start your day at the Torahway in Northwest London. Monday, Rosh Chodesh Kislev, Aleph Kislev, 2nd of December, Rabbi Donia Lo Shliter. Erevin explained, part 5, are strings on poles walls? This week's Torah is sponsored by the Sosh for Shleim and Lechol Kvali Yisro Vesvim Ashabuim Ha'ayolim Ha'milchamo Shachzul Vatem Shalom Bin Heiro.
Good morning, good chodesh. I think you're all one step away from Rabbi Nutzmicha in Erevin after all this. We are discussing today, Beis Hashem, what are mechitzas? How does one build, make a mechitza? What are the criteria for something to be considered a mechitza? So the place to really start is the machlokes between Rav Popa and Rav Huna ben Rabbi Yeshua on Daf Tesvov Omud Beis in Erevin. Daf Tesvov Omud Beis, Rav Popa and Rav Huna ben Rabbi Yeshua have a fascinating machlokes, which is that if I have a wall, and I want to emphasize, we're not talking about at all, at this stage, a rishus. We're not talking about a rishus. A rishus, we've learnt, is made from 2, 3, 4 walls. That's rishus hayochid. Right now, we're talking about how to make a wall. Now, this has nafkaminas, which goes far beyond rishuyos. For example, and this is what the Gemara is speaking about on Daf Yud Aleph and Daf Tezayin, when the Gemara speaks about how to make walls. But a wall is relevant to other halachas as well, except for Hilchos Shabbos. Most prominent, Hilchos Kiloyim. Hilchos Kiloyim, you're not allowed to plant in the same area, plant different species. This rule applies, if Kiloyim applies, unless you have achieved one of the following two things. Number one, you distance the two species at the requisite distance one from each other. They're far away. That's the way, derech number one, it's mutter to plant two species in the same general proximity. They have the safe distance away. Or number two, you put a wall between them. Put a wall between the two species. And then you put a wall between the two species. So even if they're right next to each other, it's allowed. So we need to understand, for many other reasons, other than just pure Hilchos Shabbos, what is considered a wall. So we have a machlokes between Rav Popa and Rav Huna ben Rav Yehoshua and Rav Tezvav on the base, which goes as follows. Rav Popa says, to make a wall, you need to have chetzioi oimed, which means you can't have more porot min ha'oimed. It means the wall, the actual mechitza part, needs to be no less than the open part. Shelo yei porot yosim min ha'oimed. That's what Papa says. So 50-50, 50 oimed and 50 porots, half wall and half space. According to Rav Papa, that's a wall. According to Rav Huna ben Yehoshua, you need ruboy oimed. It needs oimed maruba ala porot. You need more wall than space. B'mei nechleku, what's the machlokes? So the Gemara in Erevin, also in Sukkah, the Gemara in Erevin Daftar and Odbei says that mechitzas, all the rules of mechitzas are halacha l'moshe m'Sinai. So there's a very interesting machlokes between Rav Papa and Rav Huna ben Rav Yehoshua, is what was the halacha l'moshe m'Sinai. It's very interesting that the language they put it. According to Rav Papa, who says you allow 50-50, the language that was used in the halacha l'moshe m'Sinai was al tifroitz ruba, don't have the majority open. Don't have the majority of your wall open. If it's not the majority of your wall open, if it's 50-50, you're okay. According to Rav Huna ben Yehoshua, it has to be gedoyer ruba. Hashem said to Moshe, you have to make more than half of this area a wall. Gedoyer, make more than half of this area a fence. So that's the machlokes. Now, what's the din of the gaps? According to Rav Papa, a wall is half. According to Rav Huna ben Yehoshua, it's more than half, 51%, and then you're okay. That's a wall. And you can plant kiloyim on one side of the wall, and the other side of the wall, that's fine. To clarify, what are the din of the gaps? In every wall, right, you're allowed gaps. That's essentially what we're saying over here. If you have a machlokes about how much wall versus gap do you need, you're allowed gaps. Now, if I am standing opposite the gap, is it considered that I'm surrounded by wall or not? In other words, for kiloyim, am I allowed to plant, if I see space in front of me, am I allowed to plant wheat on this my bit, and then I judge where does the wall come up to, and then plant gefen, the other side of it? Am I allowed to do that? If you have the majority, or if you have enough wool, the answer is yes. The Gemara says in Tev Zayin Amud Aleph, the Gemara says, Af keneged haporot mutter. Even keneged the open part, you're allowed. What's the rationale? The rationale is that on a very simple level, it's not a contradiction to a wall. Open parts are not a contradiction to a wall. In every wall, you'll see in every wall in this side of the room, you have a Pesach, and that wall over there, you have a Pesach. Openings
are not contradictions to walls. That's fine. And if I am opposite this opening, and this someone opens this door, so it's considered I'm not surrounded by mechitzas, I'm not in Rishus HaYochid anymore, or I'm not on this side of the wall regarding Kilayim, of course you're on this side of the wall. Af keneged aparot muta. Even if you don't see wall with your eyes, since you are surrounded by wall, it's allowed.
Even without distance?
Yeah. Yeah. But how big is your Pesach allowed to be so that it's still considered that you are inside your wall? How big is a Pesach allowed to be? As long as your wall is majority wall over opening, the Pesach is allowed to be as big as possible, as big as you want. On condition there's still Oymin Merubah, or there's some kind of limitations to how big your Pesach is allowed to be. So here we have two Mishnayos in Erevin. There's a Mishnayos on Tezvov, on the base, and the first Mishnah Erevin, the base of Madalef, they say, these two Mishnayos, that if you have a Pesach that's more than Eser Amois, that's not a Pesach, that's a Pirza. Now a Pesach, as we said, and which is a very understandable in common sense, a Pesach is not a contradiction to being a wall. Every wall can have Pesachim, but a wall is not allowed to have a Pirza. A Pirza penetrates the wall. A Pirza destroys the wall. If you have an opening more than Esa Amois, up to Esa Amois you're allowed, more than Esa Amois, so that destroys the wall. Okay, so even if you have Oymin Merubah, even if you have the majority of this partition, wall, not air, if the air part is more than Esa Amois, that stops being a nice, healthy entrance, which is fine, and it's even considered that I'm surrounded by that entrance, even if the entrance is open, because an entrance is not a contradiction to being a wall, then if it's a pirtzah, it's more than Esa Amois, and that's quite a large space, that's not considered a Pesach anymore. You can't consider that. Come on, that's not your doorway. Come on, that's a break in the wall. A pirza is a break in the wall. However, and here we start to speak about our strings and posts. However, says the Mishnah, Daf Beis Amud Aleph, Maseches Erevin, says the Mishnah, you know this gap that cannot be considered a Pesach because it's more than Esa Amos. If you make a Tzuras HaPesach, so now, even though you don't see wall in front of you, the same opening, all that changed is Kone Al Gabeyen. You've got one reed on one side, another reed on the other side, and a third reed on top of them. Now, Yoseh Mi Eser is Mutter. Now you're allowed to see space, no wall.
How much?
Oh. We'll get to it. So, what's the rationale? Not rocket science. The rationale is the same as before. In the same way that we understand a Pesach is not a contradiction to a wall, we can also understand that if something is impossible to not be considered a Pesach, if something is absolutely immutably forced to be considered a Pesach, so again, this space cannot be considered a Pirza. By definition, it's a Pesach. You cannot consider this space that is in the shape of a Pesach, you cannot consider it anything other than a Pesach. And a Pesach is not considered porot. A Pesach is not considered open. A Pesach is not a contradiction to being a wall. So if you don't have Tzuras HaPesach, and all you just have is opening space, so then if it's 10 amos or less, so fine, that's not a contradiction to being a wall. If it's more than 10 amos, then it's a contradiction to being a wall. a contradiction to being a wall. This is not an entrance. Come on, be real. This is not an entrance. This is a piritzah. This destroys your wall. But if Bal Korchacha is an entrance, it's a Pesach, through it immutably taking the form, the tzura, the shape of a Pesach, so that it can be a Pesach. It can remain a Pesach. And the answer to your question is, as much as you want. And in Erevin of our cities, many of the enclosed areas will not be through a what we call in our vernacular a wall. It's not a conventional wall. It's a halachic wall. It's a tzuras ha-pesach, because we learn that a tzuras ha-pesach helps a situation where, had you not had a tzuras ha-pesach, it would be a pirzah. It would not be a wall. It would be more than esa amos. And it would ruin your mechitza. If you have a tzuras ha-pesach, so then it fixes the gap. It's considered a pesach. It's not considered a pirzah anymore. And a pesach is not a contradiction to being a wall. And more than that, a pesach can be considered part of the wall. As we said, you can be opposite the pesach, and you're totally fine. It's considered you're inside the wall. So lahamchish, so we get the idea. This string that you see in Erevin, what is it? It's part of the Tzuras HaPesach. If you go far enough along the string, and the string can be huge. It can be enormous. At one point, you'll get to a koneh, some kind of upright thing, and another upright thing, and the string is the koneh al gabayim. It's the third part of this form of a Pesach. And this Pesach cannot be considered porotz. It's not considered open. It is considered oimed.
Why doesn't it work for sukkahs? This wall won't work for a sukkah, will it?
Fantastic question. Okay, that's exactly what we're going to talk about now.
Okay.
Exactly what we're going to talk about now. So let's ask ourselves, right, as you're now so penetratingly asking, why do we have houses at all on Shabbos? Am I allowed on Shabbos? I want to make myself a Rishus HaYochid. What can I do?
Strings.
Make four walls, four poles. Put it on either or on all four corners of the area that I want to enclose, whack a string on top of them, Bob's your uncle. You've just made a Rishus HaYochid. Is that allowed?
Yeah, they had it for the world, didn't they?
Sorry?
They had it around the world.
Around the? Oh, around the world. Oh, no. In fact, you're beautifully the exact opposite of what the Gemara says, as we'll see in one second. So, is that allowed? If I'm telling you that a Tzuras HaPesach is a wall, and I've proven to you that it's a wall, because if it was a Pesach, if it was just an opening, so then the rule of openings is you're allowed only until Esa Amos. By the fact that you're allowed more than Esa Amos, that must mean that this is more than just an opening, it must be some kind of wall. So if it's some kind of wall, if I put four poles and put strings on all four sides, that should surely make a Rishus HaYochid. So you know what, Rabbosai? The Gemara deals with this issue exactly. Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph in Erevin, the Gemara says, Noatz Arba Kundesin V'Arba Pinois Asodev. Someone inserts four poles into the four corners of his field and puts a string on top of them. Rishus, it says, it's, what's the loss in the Gemara? Hitiru Loi Le'inya Kiloyim. Le'inya Kiloyim, as we prefaced, Le'inya Kiloyim, you need walls. Le'inya Kiloyim is absolutely fine. Totally fine. As long as you're within the borders of your Tzuras HaPesach, you can put your wheat on this side and your gefen on the other side. No problem whatsoever. It's considered that these two plants are on different sides of this wall. What's the Indian Shabbos? Machlokes Reish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan. Reish Lakish says, Kushem she'tiru loy le'inyan kiloyim, kach yitiru loy le'inyan Shabbos. What's the difference? Rabbi Yochanan says, no. The kiloyim they allow you, but not for Shabbos. Shabbos you're not allowed. But the story continues, and the Gemara says, really? Rabbi Yochanan says that for Shabbos, there's a problem with having Tzuras HaPesach. Doesn't make sense. Why should there be a problem? And the Gemara answers, yes, that which Rabbi Yochanan says that there's a problem in Shabbos is only if it's a problematic Tzuras HaPesach. Let's say that the top of the Tzuras HaPesach, like we said, the third corner is halfway down, or it's not properly on top of it, that there's some kind of issue with your Tzuras HaPesach. But if it wasn't for that issue, then even Rabbi Yochanan would agree that you're allowed to have this enclosure, even for Shabbos. Ask Tosfos Akasha, he asked two questions. Kasha number one, why, with Pasei Birois, do you need four proper walls? Now let's take a step back. The wells, as you asked. They used to have, in the times of Chazal, they used to have these watering stations for people on their way from their homes who were being Olel Regolim to Yerushalayim. They used to have these wells, these springs, on the way. Now, the problem is with these wells is that these wells are Rishus HaYochid. And that means that if we are traveling in the Rishus HaRabim, going from our towns to Yerushalayim, so we can't actually take water from the well out of it, because I'm taking from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim. The well has the dimensions of Rishus HaYochid, and we are in Rishus HaRabim, so the only way you could drink is you have to go into the well to drink. So that's a very difficult situation. So Chazal said, you know what you can do? You can make this thing called Pasei Birois. Pasim is language of planks. So you can make four big planks that have a certain size. Amul Mikan, but Amul Mikan. And you put them on the four corners of this well. Ask Tosfos, why do you need to do that? If you're telling me that Tzuras HaPesach is considered a wall, then that's a much easier solution, much less arduous. Instead of making amudim, instead of making planks, just make Tzuras HaPesach around your well, and then you can take water out from the well into the surrounding area. Kasha number one. Kasha number two, we find a case where people are again traveling and they want to make a Rishus HaYochid. So what do? They have to enclose the area with lots of strings. But here we're not talking about vertical. The Mishnah says you make horizontal strings. You make horizontal strings that are less than three tefachim away from each other, which makes lovards. And that's the way you can make an enclosure. Os Tosfos. But again, if Tzuras HaPesach is a proper enclosure, so then why do you need to go through all this hassle? Just make a Tzuras HaPesach. One answer of Tosfos is that, you know what? You're absolutely right. You're totally allowed to make a Tzuras HaPesach even for Shabbos, but you know what creatures are stomping up and down the deserts of antiquity? Camels! Camels are roaming around the Judean deserts, and camels and strings are not a good shidduch. So if we allowed you to just have strings, then the camels will be knocking down your Tzuras HaPesach, left, right, and center. All the problem with city Erevin would be nothing compared to camels blundering around, destroying your Tzuras HaPesach. And therefore, Chazal said, you know what, even though Tzuras HaPesach is absolutely fine, halachically speaking, Mikar Adin, we should make a more sturdy structure, so you shouldn't have a problem with camels. Now, have you ever spoken or heard about a Sfardi person that says, I'm a Sfardi, and therefore I can't carry in the Eruv? Anyone ever come across this? Yeah? Yeah? Why is that? What does Sfardin have against Eruvin? The answer is that the Sfardim are paskening like the Rambam, who is grappling with this issue, which is that on one hand you're telling me that Tzuras HaPesach is a mechitza, And that you see from the Mishnah Daf Beis Amud Aleph. On the other hand, I see all these places in Chazal where Chazal were clearly not happy to make a structure out of Turas HaPesach. They said either you need to make four amudim regarding Pasi Birois, or you need to make strings that are less than three tvochim away from each other. And just to further refine the question, we started off by saying that there's a machlok, a pop and a punabay of Yeshua about how much oimid do you need, yosim in aporots. And it doesn't sound like we're talking about Turas HaPesach. So what are where does a Turas HaPesach stop and a real mechitza, so to speak, start? There must be something else out there. Says the Rambam, and why the Sfadim not carry an Eruvin is based on this Rambam. Shulchan Aruch brings the Rambam, Simon Shin, Samech Beis, Sif Yud. The first, Shulchan Aruch brings two shitas. Shita number one, if you make a Turas HaPesach and your whole Rishus HaYochid is purely constituted from a Turas HaPesach, it's absolutely fine. No problem whatsoever. Great. That is absolutely a fine Rishus. Le'inyan Shabbos. That's like Tosis's answer. Why? Because there's no camels roaming up and down Golders Green Road. So you can make a Rishus out of Turas HaPesach. No problem. Brings the Shulchan Aruch a Yesh Oimrim. The Ul HaRambam Ein Turas HaPesach Moil. According to the Rambam, a Turas HaPesach. And again, what is a Turas HaPesach? Something which seals off an opening more than 10 amos. According to the Rambam, a Turas HaPesach will not enclose an area that is greater than Yud Amos unless it's together with Oymed Merubah al Aporetz. Unless you're in conjunction with that Turas HaPesach, you have also solid, good old-fashioned bricks and mortar. That which a Turas HaPesach can enclose, can shut an area more than Yud Amos, which is what the Mishnah says, that is only if together with that Turas HaPesach, you also have Oymed Merubah al Aporetz in this whole wall. Which means that what will happen to people that want to follow the Rambam? It means that you can never have a whole wall just in Turas HaPesach. A Turas HaPesach can close an opening that's more than Eser Amos, but only if this whole wall also has Oymed Merubah al Aporetz with good old-fashioned solid concrete, bricks and mortar.
That's only where there are gemalim.
No. The Rambam's not gemalim. The Rambam's also grappling with the same issue. And the Rambam saying, well, why on one hand do I find that Turas HaPesach is a mechitza? On the other hand, I find Chazal clearly didn't view it as a total mechitza, because with Pasei Birois, you need four solid walls on each corner. Says the Rambam, I'll tell you how you resolve it. The Turas HaPesach is category A of being a wall, which is that it can enclose, it can shut a Pesach that is more than Eser Amos. But it's not category B of wall, which is pure solid bricks and mortar. And that which you can use Turas HaPesach to shut a gap of more than Eser Amos is only if you also have in the background Oymed Merubah al Aporetz, if you have real, tangible, solid wall. The Rambam has a different shot in the Gemara on Daf Yudalef from Adalef. But either way, just to sum up in 30 seconds.
Right, where are the solid walls?
Well, let me just sum up. On each side. Exactly. On each side. So what comes out? What? 1 second. So what comes out? What comes out is, and there is the most beautiful Rav Chaim you could possibly imagine on the Rambam, on this Rambam, in Hilchus Shabbos. Tess Zayin, the most wonderful Rav Chaim you can ever imagine. And Rav Chaim says that you have two kinds of wall. There are two kinds of wall in our religion. Firstly, you have something which is a mechitza. That's absolutely fine. A mechitza is Turas HaPesach. It's a mechitza. Fine. But you have another kind of wall that is actually considered totally and utterly sotum. Not everything which is a wall is a wall that's good enough for us. And that's the pshat in the Rambam. That the Rambam, on one hand, considers Turas HaPesach a mechitza, but it's not considered actually sosum. For that, you need solid bricks and mortar, solid, tangible wall.
One more
The piece of wood.